Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of August, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and it was very much more of the same. The Asian stock markets saw some minor selling pressure, a little bit more in the Philippines following that a hijacking and killing of passengers on a bus. The Japanese market had the biggest decline here, down 1.33% on the yen strength. European stock markets were in the minus column pretty well all day. Gains on average of 1.5%, declines rather, on average of 1.5%. The Americas were also weaker. Mexico was hit hard, 2.42%. Wall Street down on average 1.5%. And government bonds, well, they surged again here. And I think the 10-year yield on U.S. Treasuries is down to 2.5%. The dollar was barely changed on the dollar index. The currency of the day, though, was the yen. It rose against absolutely everything. And the dollar-yen rate is at 84.06 as I speak. It was as low as 83.60. And in the precious metals markets, well, gold rebounded following an early sell-off. It attracted some contagion selling when Wall Street weakened shortly after the opening and fell about $15, but then closed on the plus side. And gold bullion at this moment is trading at $12.30.75. That's up $4.60. Silver was also quite firm, closing at $18.41. And platinum briefly fell beneath the 1500 level, but closed again up above it at 1517. The industrial metals were weaker. Crude oil fell $1.50. It's currently at 71.56. There weren't many commodities on the upside. The U.S. sugar price had a small gain, and I think cotton had a small gain. Okay, so what do we make of it all? Well, for stock markets, it's still the Sisyphusian story, only this time now we're in the phase where the boulder is rolling back down the hill. The ASEAN markets and India remain remarkably steady. And we've really seen them uncouple since June. That's interesting. But of course, Wall Street has been range bound over that period. And if we were to see the July lows taken out, I think that would weigh a bit more on those markets. But what we can say is that a lot of these emerging markets that are showing that have quite good GDP growth rates at present are no longer performing in the high beta manner in which we had seen previously. Well, they're still performing in high beta on the upside, but they're not falling more than Wall Street on the dips. And that's quite an interesting change. Is it a permanent change? Well, it's much too soon to say that. The Wall Street leash effect is still very powerful. But I think it has been diluted because the U.S. is no longer the engine for global GDP growth. and the US stock market is a little less important relative to the rest of the world than it had been previously. In other words, it accounts for a smaller percentage of overall global capitalization, although it's still the world's largest stock market by far. Meanwhile, I'm pleased that most Fuller Money themes are performing in considerably better fashion overall. But now, what about this setback that we're seeing on Wall Street? Well, the short-term indicators, as I've mentioned, as I mentioned on Monday, are technically oversold. But what's really required here is an upward dynamic to indicate that some renewed demand is coming in, and it's also needed to squeeze the bear positions, which I suspect are growing by the day, as we've seen on previous sell-off phases overall. If we stand back from the day-to-day action, which really consists of three or four weeks to the upside and then three or four weeks to the downside, and just repeating that pattern in an overall ranging environment. If we stand back, what we see is a trading range overall. And this is an environment that subscribers will remember is not something that's surprised us. Markets, ever since the overextension on the upside that we saw in April and the subsequent correction, we've been locked in a trading range. The exceptions have been some of the South American markets and the ASEAN markets in Asia, which have outperformed. But pretty well everything else has been in this sideways trading range, and it looks like we're going to get more of the same here over the short term. But again, we are getting oversold. Sentiment is really quite bearish. I would not be surprised to see a bounce in the not too distant future. But more importantly than that, assume that selling pressure has the upper hand until we start to see some upward dynamics which are sufficient to lead to some short covering. Now, looking beyond that, I think that valuations, the low interest rates, the strong growth that we see in many of the progressing economies should be enough to lead to further strength for equities overall in the fourth quarter of this year. But that's a hunch and a hope. And the key thing is, I've said all along here, in these unusual times, is let's monitor the technical evidence. And so as we approach previous support levels, it's for the bulls to prove that those levels are going to hold. Long-dated government bonds, I do think this is a bubble. The cynic would say that a bubble is anything that one's not participating in. And that's a valid point overall, but we've got really exceptionally low long-dated government yields. We have massive supply overall. The quantitative easing is helping to maintain the momentum trend. There's been frenzied buying of bonds in the in the USA, where more data is available, and I wouldn't be surprised if that hasn't been replicated in a number of other Western stock markets, with people actually selling equity mutual funds and buying bond funds. Now, that has the look of a lemming run to me, since these trends in the bond markets are becoming really quite overextended in the short term. But again, I have to emphasize, just as I did with stock markets, whereas stock markets do not yet show this, I'm talking about the Western stock markets, Wall Street led, they do not yet show any technical evidence that this current reaction is over. It's just that it's become oversold. The converse can be said for the long-dated government bond prices. They are overbought, technically, but we don't see the downward dynamics to indicate that prices are peaking and that yields are going to move back up. Now, there's an interesting, very interesting report from Citigroup that I've posted. And there's also, before that appears, I think you might also be interested in the lead article that I used, which came via, it's an Associated Press item, but it came via Malaysia, interestingly enough. But it gave an example of Johnson and Johnson, of course, the U.S. Bandages pharmaceutical company. It's not a pharmaceutical company, is it? But you know, medical products. And they pointed out that Johnson and Johnson had recently, earlier this month, sold some 10-year bonds at a yield of 2.95%, and those were snapped up by the market. But the Johnson and Johnson shares themselves actually yield 3.7%. Now, does it make sense to buy the Johnson and Johnson bonds at 2.95%, and rather than the shares yielding 3.7%? And obviously, people think so in this particular environment. But the article points out the obvious point that over the next decade or so, you have the prospect of further dividend increases in the Johnson for the Johnson and Johnson share, and also, I think the likelihood of some capital appreciation. Although the share has been range bound for most of the last decade, it has nevertheless raised its dividend for 48 consecutive years. That's right, 48 consecutive years. Which is exceedingly impressive. So my feeling really is that people are just buying the bonds because it's a momentum trade, and therefore they're looking good in the short term. But again, I described it as a lemming run a moment ago, and I think it's dangerous, but I can't yet say that it's over. In terms of currencies, the zombie government in Japan talks about watching the yen, and we don't like to see these levels, and so on. That's about the strongest statement that we've seen. But they haven't done anything about it here, and so the yen still has some momentum of its own behind it. I think some of these levels are becoming ruinous for the Japanese economy, in that they will certainly damage corporate profits. The evidence to back my view is that Japan's stock market is considerably weaker than any other important stock market right now. And I think that, well, we know that governments are crisis oriented, and I think this is turning into, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think this is certainly becoming a considerable problem for Japan. So again, I think that the people who are holding the yen, they've done splendidly well in the short term, but I think they're on borrowed time right now. And I would expect to see some sort of action here against this yen strength. I described it as a zombie government here. I think that people are concerned about their own electoral positions. They're not sure what to do. They probably are not market people overall. But I would imagine, well, I know that the pressure is growing considerably, and the main pressure is presumably coming from Japan's major exporters. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of intervention in the not too distant future, as I've said before. Gold remains extremely steady and well within its overall upward trend, and it has been edging back up towards the higher side of its range, up in that $1,250 to $1,260 region where we had seen the downside key day reversals in June. But we're really not that far off that level. It would only take a day or two of good solid gains to see another test of the higher side of the range. Platinum looks weaker overall, but I think it would follow gold. Palladium is steadier than platinum overall, and silver lagging a little bit behind gold, but it has steadied recently. And crude oil, let's take that last but not least. 71.51 as I speak. And this is getting down towards its previous lows, which are in the $70 region. I think this move is the unwinding of speculative long positions, which had driven it up to 85 was it the beginning of this month or late last month? Crude oil looks pretty oversold to me, and I would not be surprised to see a bounce in the next week or two. And on that note, all the best to all of you.